Hello, Rama.
Hello, Anne. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to ask you some questions about Saraswati. How do you describe her? How does she look?
Well, I always get Saraswati and Lakshmi confused because this experience I had with this goddess in floating on a white lotus but standing was all in white, and I thought this must be Saraswati and not Lakshmi, because Lakshmi is depicted in pink. But I thought, well, who is creating these colors? Did they have the experience of these goddesses, and is that how it came forth? But also, I discovered, as I intuitively do, that really Saraswati and Lakshmi are one and the same, as all deities all come back to the same source. But then, as they're separated out, there's different little bit of different attributes for each one. So I see her as draped with white, as she's many times depicted, and she holds a veena, and they say she's sitting on the lotus, but the way I saw her was she was standing on the lotus very majestically, and she was just floating on the water. And Mahalakshmi is known as they say, the queen of the waterway. But originally, I heard something or read something that Saraswati was considered to be the queen of the waterway. And Saraswati is the consort of Brahma, the creator. And it is said that they reside in the lowest chakra. Now, later on, it's interesting how we get different readings, different writings as the ages go on. And later, they were assigned to the second chakra, which is water, the element of water, where the first is the element of earth, which could be the beginning of the seed of creation. And the that she is the consort. It's like the Shakti that makes this happen, and Brahma becomes the stabilizing force from which this creative force can move. And so she is considered to be very, very beautiful. Some refer to her as Maha Saraswati. And she represents the flow of beauty, of art, of music, of poetry, the way words come together, which is would relate to the second chakra, I would imagine, which is taste. And it's not just taste of our foods and in the mouth, but taste in the way we furnish our homes, the clothing we wear, the choices we make in life. She also she has a peacock around her and swans. And how I perceived her was with little white elephants that were around her. But there are swans that swim, white swans that swim on this waterway. So it's the way. Again, it's only my perception and my experience of seeing her all draped in, and everything was in white. She represents, she is a, represents when we take on a work, she represents the persistence and the determination of the levels of that work that we take on. She represents music, plays, as I said before, the poetry. And she has the instrument of the veena, which is the finest instrument that even if a breeze were to flow through, it could move the strings on the instrument. So it means refinement, the ultimate in refinement. And she also represents harmony and, of course, beauty. And she brings in the feminine aspect to the logic, to the learning, and yet lifting that into the beauty of the learning, into if we are teachers of yoga or anything, we would invoke Saraswati's presence, because she would come in and give us an intuitive knowledge where it's like we're being guided, words flow through our mouth that perhaps we didn't intend, and we hear these words coming through and we might say to ourselves, oh, I didn't know that. Isn't that wonderful? So it represents the energy where we even learn from ourselves, from this deep, wonderful guidance that can move from within.
Are there certain ways that you are more in touch with Saraswati through yoga poses or breathing practices?
Well, I feel the shoulder stand is an excellent way to get in touch with Saraswati, and even the headstand, because they say that when Saraswati is present, when Saraswati is present, she dances upon our tongue. So if somebody is very eloquent, like in India, someone was giving a wonderful talk one day, and people in the audience, one whispered to me, they said, ah, Saraswati is dancing upon his tongue. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful way of expressing it. And actually, I haven't had that experience, but a friend of mine did. When a speaker was speaking once, she saw this little goddess that walked out onto a person's tongue, the tip of the tongue, and then disappeared back into the mouth, and then came out again, and then disappeared. So Saraswati relates to our throat chakra, the Vishuddhi chakra. And ironically, she also relates to the Ajna chakra, the seat of command. And this is where the inner guru appears and speaks through us and guides us and directs us from that inner realm. And I saw some ancient writing quite a while ago, and it's something about when the Brahmarandra, the crown of the head, opens. When the crown of the head opens, the divine light enters in through that crown and comes down through the palate of the mouth through the Ajna chakra in the forehead center point. And it comes down through the, and this is all on the subtle level, of course, through the upper palate, coming down onto the tongue. And this, they relate it to the energy of Saraswati. So it's like we invoke the divine presence into our being. It comes down through the physiology, through the cerebral palate, upper cerebral palate, down into the tongue, and then the words become very eloquent. And when Saraswati is present, our words will only heal. They cannot wound the hearts of others. Mm-hmm. They become an agent of healing. Because then the words express themselves eloquently, beautifully, but they also come from the heart. And I feel that is the essence of when Saraswati is present. And they say if we're starting any project like writing a book, teaching a workshop, teaching a class, giving a keynote speech, if we're doing art, if we're writing poetry, if we're a musician, we would invoke the presence of Saraswati.
And are there any last thoughts that you've had about your experiences with Saraswati you'd like to share?
Well, the mantra to, you know, each sound invokes a particular presence in the form of what they call the deities in India. And her mantra is Om, I'm. And that's the bija, that's her invocation. It's a seed mantra. It has no meaning, but it is the way the petals of the lotus and the particular chakras come together to form I'm. And then it's Om I'm, Saraswati Ye, Svaha. And Sva is one's own. And that's where we offer from the heart center to Saraswati. Now, we don't have to do this in a puja because everything we do is a puja. Our breath is a puja. It's an offering. You know, the inhalation into the exhalation into the inhalation, the prana into the apana into the prana. And so when we take the mantra, Om, I'm Saraswati Swaha, it's very powerful, and it starts to invoke the presence of that energy field, and it comes around our being. Every time I go to teach a class, every time I have to give a talk, or I said have to, because I never like to, but when I have to get up in front of people, I'm always invoking that presence through the mantra beforehand. And then so that it's that energy that touches the hearts of people. It's not us, but it's that energy that's coming through us, which I feel in that instance is Saraswati.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Anne.